Good morning, everybody. This is Lola, just saying hi.
Morning.
Hello, I have joined the documentation working group, and users will be part of my purview there. So I will attend these meetings to learn more.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad we found someone to take that over. That's great.
Yeah, and Amelia, I've heard great things about you as a product owner. The documentation group told me that you are wonderful in terms of clarifying things, so pleased to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. I'm always happy to clarify or test something out if we're not sure how something works. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Hi there, I'm Jay. I'm pretty new here. I just started last week.
Hi there, Jay.
Okay, nice to meet you. Usually we have, I want to say, 3 to 4. Maybe five sometimes people showing up. So I think I'll give it a few more minutes. Maura, who's our organizer for these meetings, I think she should be here today. Just give her a minute.
I'm just looking at the agenda for today. Do we still need a note taker? I can take notes.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Or good afternoon. Wherever
Hello.
you may be.
Yeah, afternoon, right?
Good day to all of us. Oh, I see a new name here, Lola Estelle.
Hi there. Yeah, I am an implementation consultant at EBSCO, and I've recently joined the documentation working group. And users is one area of the documentation I'll be handling. So nice to meet all of you.
All right. Thank you very much for taking that on and welcome.
Sure. And Maura, are you at Chicago?
I am.
Okay, I attended your session at WolfCon, so I
Oh.
remember meeting you then. And I also live in the area. I live in Oak Park, so I'm not too
Oh,
far
no
from you.
kidding.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. I might see you this month when I'm getting my car emissions tested.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yes. I know. Well, they don't have emissions testing sites in the city anymore. So
Crazy.
Yeah. Like, well, let's just take the day off and go somewhere nice. I have the car after all. So yes. All right. So it's five after. My first question, as always, you'll get the gold star with me today, by taking notes.
I'm going to take notes.
Oh,
Yep.
you're doing great already out of the gate. Okay, so the let's see. I know I have the agenda somewhere nice. I'm just going to put it up in the chat for those of us who may not have it to hand. And the first thing we're going to do is finish prioritizing the mod users 539 Jira ticket, or it's a feature request, right, Amelia?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, are you ready to get us rolling, shove us down the hill, whatever it is we're going to be doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're talking about this feature, which is an enhancement to add optimistic locking to the user's app.
I'm gonna interrupt for a second. I'm hearing you very faintly. Am I the only one, or is okay.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet.
Give me
It
one
makes me
second
think
to
that
see if I can.
there's a maybe a microphone issue.
Yeah, give me one sec. Let me see if I can
Okay.
figure this out.
In the meantime, I hope everyone's having a lovely day because the weather has finally broken in Chicago.
Oh, finally.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you're out at sort of in the flash flood area. I don't know if
Yeah.
but yes, it's the high today is going to be 77 degrees Fahrenheit and cooler by the lake. And after the past few weeks, I welcome it.
It's been like Florida here.
Yeah. Very swamp-like.
Totally.
Am I a little more audible now?
Little bit.
Still not really hearing you.
Okay.
I can hear it, it's just a little quiet.
Yeah, I might switch
Well,
headphones. Give me a second.
for the optimistic locking, I asked Julian for his opinion, and he said it's useful nevertheless, and it might also work when loading pattern data and at the same time editing data in the client. So if you someone has time for this, do it.
Well put.
Yeah, he thinks it's necessary at all, or useful at all. So,
Yes. So is if we're speccing it out, and there is an optimistic lock, we have, say, a user is editing, someone is editing a user in the UI. And then there is also, a user load while that user is being edited. So the person in the UI does that person take precedence since they were there first, over the user load? And if so, would that be, dare I say it, law, so that someone can come by logs afterwards and see that this or that user could not be.
So, am I more audible first? Is
Yes.
this better? Yeah,
Yes.
okay. So with the user load, so I looked at this too. And essentially what the optimistic locking relies on is when the record is updated, there's a version field on that record that gets updated to be one higher. So it's not based on when you start editing the record, it's based on when you save it. So if you start editing a record and then a user load updates that record, the version number will increase. And so when you try to save your record, it'll have already picked the version number for when you save. So when you save, it'll say, well, there's been a change, so this isn't going to work. And you will have to close it out and try again. If it goes the other way around, oh, yeah.
I was just saying that so you get this, this, let's say that the automated user load is going on and someone is editing a thing, they're editing, the user load saves. Then the person editing in the UI saves their changes. They get an error and have to do it all over again. Is that
Yes.
okay?
Yes. And then you wouldn't run into this going the other direction, since the user load isn't in the UI. It's not going. It doesn't. When you start the load, it doesn't assign all those version numbers. It does that when they're loaded. And so if you edit it in the UI and the load comes through, it's checking for that version number when it's updating the record and not before those changes are made. So it will still update afterwards.
Okay.
So I missed some of the conversation about how much of a priority this is. I think I heard you start to talk about that. But I missed some of that. So what do people think? I personally think this is still pretty low priority. Like it's nice to have, but it's such an edge case with users that I don't think it's urgent, but if someone disagrees, absolutely let me know.
Hang on, I'm going to put something in the chat. There. So if we agree that it's low priority, just put a plus sign under the and
Perfect.
that account. All right.
All right. That seems pretty resounding.
Yeah.
Then I am going to close this for now. And if it comes up again, then we can reopen it. But for now, we can close this.
Okay.
All right, great.
That was fast.
Yeah,
Excellent.
so the other thing that we have on the agenda is just to introduce this UAT. So we're going to be having user acceptance testing for this new feature that's coming in Trillium, custom field accordion customization. So I think I'll give a brief overview of what the feature is, and I will put the link to this page in the chat. So what this feature is it allows you to in your user settings, way too many folio environments. In your user settings, under custom fields, there's a new field called Display an Accordion. And it doesn't let you choose all of the accordions in users, but these are the ones that we decided it made sense to have as options. And so we have this custom field and move it to contact information. And when you go into the user's app and go to the contact information accordion, you've got that custom field displaying in with the other fields. And since there aren't any other custom fields, the regular custom field accordion doesn't display here. So this testing is a little more complicated than some of the other UATs that we've done recently, just because there are a lot of different things you can do with custom fields. And so these, I think 20 or 30 minutes is what I'd expect this to take. But it might take longer or it might be shorter depending on how fast you're going through it. The testing will be, oh, I need to update this testing environment link actually. This should be
I understand.
I think it is Eureka Sprint testing. Let me double check. No, that's not sprint testing. Sprint testing.
Oh
Oh, it's down
no.
now. Oh no.
This again.
Okay, well, I will need to check on the status of those environments.
Okay.
And I'll put a post in the Slack channel once I've gotten that sorted out.
Okay. I'll also add it to these notes just in case someone checks back on them.
Yeah. And if you want to do testing in Snapshot, there's really no reason you couldn't. You would just need to create these roles and users to do the testing with. The reason I was going to use that other environment is because it's only refreshed once a week. And so we wouldn't need to be creating these users every day.
Right.
But if
And
you want to test,
was that one the reference environment? What was the
so this
environment?
is it's one of the reference environments. It's the
Okay.
sprint testing environments are only updated. Their data is only updated every 7 days. So they always have the most recent version of each module daily. But the data is only refreshed once a week. So I was hoping we could use this and not have to create those users every time, but
Fingers crossed.
me. I'll at least grab the new link. In here. All right. Yeah, so I think that's about it on this, unless anyone wants to mess around with a little more. But since we have time, we can talk about other priorities for users right now. So this is our gap list here. And well, this can be removed now since it was just completed. So let me, there we go. So the feature that we talked about already that's going to be worked on in the Umbrella Leaf release is displaying custom fields at checkout. And so this one has already been added to our plans for next release. But there's still most of the development that the Valeris team is doing this release. Oh, yes. Oh, let me exit editing first. So the Valeris team has a little bit extra front-end development capacity for the next release. So if there are any features that would be front-end or almost entirely front-end, we might be able to get one of those fit into this. And if there isn't one that we come up with, let's see. I do have this ticket that I've been slowly working on with Kimmy of just small fixes in the user's UI, either some display issues or just renaming buttons and things to be more consistent. But if we have something else that's a priority, obviously I'd like to do that first. And so looking through here, let me see. This feature, making it more clear which fields are being displayed in the keyword search users was one. This one should also be front end only, I believe. Oops. Yes, so this is a feature would just add an additional permission and in Eureka capability set to view a user's requests. Actually, I need to check if this is still needed in Eureka because it might already exist as a capability set. So this would be specifically yes, so this is being able to see the count of requests, even if you don't have permission to view the requests themselves. So right now, if you're looking at a user, I don't know if this user's going to have requests. No. But if I didn't have permissions to view requests in the requests app, these would not show up. There's no way to view the counts from the user's app without having the view permission for the records themselves.
But the accordion request is shown.
but only without content, or
I don't
oh.
think it's displayed at all, but it would be displayed. Now it would be displayed if there were custom fields added to the request accordion. But you still wouldn't get those counts. Let me go back. Let's see if this already exists in Eureka. With the UI users. Yeah, so the only option for requests is to manage and not view. So this would be adding a view only permission for this. So you could still see those counts. Which actually, thinking about this, I don't think this would be only front end. So maybe this isn't a good candidate. Because I think there would need to be back end changes for this.
You're probably right.
But is I guess we can still talk about it in terms of as a requirement in general. Is this something that's important? I think for us, in most cases, if you need to see request counts, like there's no problem with that user being able to see the requests as well and having access to the requests app. But is that the case for others?
Well, I think it makes sense. I mean, one of the things on the list is the more granular user view permissions. And if, this is sort of something that's thing has been kind of amorphous, it's been kind of poorly defined. And if we're looking at someone who needs, for statistics purposes or whatever, they need to know how many requests have been made by this user. Or by this patron. But there's no need for them to go and look at every book that they requested. Then, it makes sense to me to have this, it's sort of, when it comes to users, I've always been sort of a tiny bit maybe paranoid about giving up too much information. Because if there's, this is the place where you want to give what people need, but not more, because there can be room for mischief. So I would just in principle, for me, I think that it would be a good idea to have that. Can see the number of requests, but not necessarily see the requests. And that can help us sort of like start winnowing down and get sort of a nice proof of concept of things that we can do in order to have more granular view permissions. So for me, that one kind of dovetails with viewing the number of requests. So I would be in favor.
Okay. Actually, you bring up a good point about cleaning up users' permissions in general. I think there are a few things that have come up around things like this with patron privacy, and either being able to restrict viewing certain parts of a user record or being able to, one that came up from the Library of Congress recently was they were interested in, so there are a bunch of areas in Folio where you have that find users pop-up that comes up. So, for example, if I am in requests and I'm creating a request, I use requester lookup. Right now, all of the users can be found through this. And actually, maybe this isn't a great example because here you would want patrons and staff. You would want everyone since presumably everyone could request material.
True.
But for something like acquisitions units, where the only people you'll be assigning to this are staff users, you never need a patron to be part of your acquisitions unit. In this case, it could be nice to restrict this based on the user type field to only show patron users, or at least, or rather, to exclude patron users. So I looked into it some, and it seems like it might be a little complicated, just since this plugin is used in so many places in Folio. But if it is something that folks are interested in, I think it could be worth exploring further. And the way, so I talked with a couple of other product owners about this, and here, let me find the ticket. It'll be easier if we can look at that. Let's see. I need a second to find this in my notes.
That's fine.
Sorry, no. Sorry. It's taking me a second.
Gotta take this minute to get a cup of coffee.
There we go. All right. Yeah. So there are a lot of areas that would be affected by this. When the Library of Congress took a look at it, these are all of the places where they thought it would make sense to exclude patrons from the results. And so one of the main concerns that I had about this is that not every institution would necessarily want this exclusion in all of these places. And Yeah, from the two product owners, Owen and Dennis, who both took a look at this as well. The two options that we were looking at were either creating something in settings that you could use to enable or disable this limitation, or to just have a separate capability to only view non-patron users. And so this would probably come up in other areas too, not just in these find user pop-ups. It would be across Folio, which I think makes sense if you're trying to restrict access to a user's data. Anyway. Yeah, so I had originally closed this as won't do, but I thought I'd bring it up here as well. Yeah, Mara.
Okay. Yeah, does that are we talking about the that sort of browse where you click one of the click boxes and then you get the list of every user or if we're talking about like if you're typing in a name or a username and it doesn't come up because you're not permitted to view it. Is this does this handle both or just the click box with the list?
So are you saying, is it would it just affect this, or would it affect in the user's app as well? Is that?
Well, no, just the user, see the user search box?
Yes.
Okay, so let's say that I'm searching for someone who I'm not allowed to view because patron or staff or whatever, and and the user doesn't come up. On the other hand, if we're looking for like in the click boxes down below, when you click one of them, you get a list of every person who belongs in that group. And so would this thing say, you're not, would what we're requesting mean that we're not allowed to like, certain people if they click on a patron group that they don't have access, that they don't have the ability to view, it won't come up or, if the
So the idea would be, and it wouldn't restrict based on the patron group because these are customized by institution. What it would be restricting would be based on the user type field. So this, let me see what the values are. There are, I believe, four possible values for this right now, although that might have been expanded since I last checked. But so there's patron, staff, shadow, which is for staff users that have access to other instances in ECS environment. So if you have a user record in their primary tenant that they're affiliated with, if they also have access in another tenant, in that tenant there will be a shadow user that allows them to perform the things that they're able to do, whatever they have permissions to do in that tenant. And then the fourth one is system. And I think that's used by a few different different things. But so this would be just excluding users with the patron user type
But there's no
from the
filter for
results.
user type.
Yeah, so it's it would keep them from showing up here. It's
Okay. So it's like if I was
So.
listing in that user search and I just clicked on the click box that said active, and if I'm not permitted to view patrons, then those patrons would not show up.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So I do think like I think this could be a very useful permission to have separate. I think we will need to look into a lot of places where this could break things, I think. Because there are many places where if you aren't able to view user records, if patron records aren't being returned, then you might see errors in other places where a user's UUID is being used to look up that user's record. That said, I think in most of those cases, it wouldn't make sense for you to only be able to view patrons or to not be able to view patrons and say view requests because requests are always tied to a patron, or they will be until they can be anonymized. But so I think there will be some interactions with other areas of Folio that we will have to work out. But yeah, how do folks feel about this? Should I add it to our gap list? Something people are interested in?
Well,
Maybe we could do another chat poll.
I'm just giving a quick look at some of the records that we have, and it looks like we're not using what's the term? We're not using user type, or at least as near as I can tell. So it's like, you know, we would have to like re unless we can you know, go ahead and you know, we might have to like put a user type in there because that's just something that you know, we've not been, we don't differentiate between staff and patrons because our staff are often our patrons and vice versa, you know, university environment. So, you know, it's the sort of thing where if it doesn't break anything for us, I think, you know, I think it's a great idea.
Maura, I was thinking that as well. I know that the user type field is relatively new, and for non-ECS environments, the projects I've worked on, really nobody is using it yet. So I think it would be if institutions were interested in this kind of permission capability, sorry, they would need to first populate that field in their user records before this would work. So it's just a wrinkle to keep in mind.
Yeah, that would be the case of the five colleges too. We're not using that field. And actually, we have a custom field named user type, so we're gonna have to change that.
I, you know, I bet you're not alone. I bet a lot of Folio libraries have that.
So I guess, is there anyone who, if we implemented this, would definitely be using it? Because I think if there's no one who has like a definite use case, I think we can leave this closed and maybe open it back up in the future. But if someone is sure that they use it, and that it's fairly important for them, we can open it up back up and put it on the gap list.
Well, I will ask my colleagues about this. If as we manage, will manage up to 200 libraries, we have to consider every use case for them. And I suppose it will be important on necessary or useful for at least some of them, but I will discuss it in our internal meetings.
Great.
Yeah. Amelia, what if, or actually just for the group, what if we come back with sort of a decision, or at least a decision on how to prioritize it, and whether or not it should remain closed by our next meeting, which would be the first week in September. Would that work, or would that like not work with schedules and holidays and that kind of thing?
It's my holiday in
Oh.
the first week of September. Woo!
Well, let's put this on the first week of October,
Yeah.
because there's WolfCon going on, sneaking up on us as we speak. So,
Right. Thank you.
all right, that sounds good. Let me go back to our gap list. So I'm looking at this feature, and we have this note that maybe it should go to the RA sig. I think that's
Right.
still probably the case. I'll send this over to Susan.
We'd at least need them on board with it.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, so there's the view one we talked about. So it looks like this is the only UI only feature that's been brought up so far in our gap list. And so last time we talked about it, which was back in May, we were interested in this, but so there are a lot of fields included in the keyword search right now. And so listing them all out would still probably be too much. Let's see, even if we did username and then combined the four name fields to just say name, we would still have five other fields, so that seven total that would be searched by the keyword search. So,
Already, I believe first name, last name, and preferred first name are listed. Well, okay, they're not. They're just under name, email, and identifier. What I know is that I can use the username or a first or last name in that name field, in that first one, and get the user I'm looking for.
yeah, so I think, let's see. Oh, users. So we have name, email, identifier. I think identifier covers these three fields. Is that clear enough? I guess it seems like maybe the only things we need to add are something that indicates that custom fields are being searched, and something that shows that usernames are being searched.
This looks like a really nice place to have one of those info buttons I forget what we called it. You know, you click on a thing and it says, okay, this is what we mean when we're saying we're clicking, you know, we're searching by name, you know, or keyword. These are the things that are being searched. So that, you know, if you want to know, you can. You know, even if it's just like, you know, that little info button, you know, beside the box so that it can tell you, okay, for each of these, this is what's being searched. You can just sort of go through it. And, you know, that seems like something that we could ask some UI programmers to do.
I'm definitely, I like that idea. I would definitely need to talk with Kimmy about where we would place that info button. Just because,
Right. There's not a lot of room on either side of the box. And it
I
wouldn't
don't think
necessarily
it's
be good in the box.
and I don't think
Perhaps
it's.
you can look at the number generation screens. There are lots of info buttons.
I love it there. So the thing is with the service interaction with number generators, it's never in a search context that these info boxes are used.
Open one of those entries and are there? No, it's there are only at the text fields, at the field descriptions. Okay, but not for a search. Hint.
That looks like.
Right. It's like we have these things for results, but not necessarily functions. But I think that might be, I mean, just because it hasn't been done before doesn't necessarily mean we can't do it. And I think that that's, you know, I think that would be an excellent, I think that would be a really good place to, you know, have something that says, you know, this is what we're.
And perhaps somewhere else where the search box isn't clear enough.
My other thought on this is if we So does everyone agree that we probably don't need to specify all of the different name fields if we're saying name is searchable?
I think
So
that's true.
if we and I the other question, I guess, identifier, is that sufficient to describe these three fields, or do we want to be more specific there?
Think it's okay.
Yeah.
I
I
think
would
it's okay
understand it.
too. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so then that would give us 1, 2, 3, 5 fields, username and custom fields. My other thought was, what if we did username, name, email, identifier, and then moved the custom field search to a separate option in this menu.
Yeah, yes.
Does that?
I would prefer this to have the custom field separate. Yeah.
Okay.
As there might be words content which is similar to name but means a complete different thing in that custom field.
Yeah. And that. All right. Does that sound good? I'll leave a note to myself in my notes to bring this up with Kimmy and see which of these options that she thinks would be better. My guess is that she's going to lean towards this one, just since the info button hasn't been used in a search context before. But we'll see what she says, and we can talk about this again. Okay. Oh wow, and we're right at the end of the meeting.
We are right at the end. I have a
We
quick
are at
question
time.
for the notes, Amelia. Kimmy, who's Kimmy? I don't think I'm
Oh
familiar.
yes.
That's Kimmy Kester.
Yes.
Kimmy Kester. Okay.
KimmyKesterr.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, and she's a UX designer
Okay.
portfolio.
Great. Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for coming.
Thanks,
And
everyone.
thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Lola,
Good to
for
see you.
notes. Yes.
Sure, I'll clean these
Okay.
up and get them posted right away.
All right. Excellent.
And if anyone has things that their institution needs that we don't have on the gap list, I really encourage you to just feel free to add something and we can talk about it in a future meeting.
Okay.
So don't hesitate to add them there and then we can discuss them later.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.